Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that had separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one of them had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they ask, "Aren't all of these who speak Galilean? Then how is it each of us hears them in our native tongue?" And please forgive me, I can't pronounce all of these words correctly. Parthians, Medes, Ammonites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Egyptians from Rome, both Jews and converts to Jerusalem, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed, they are perplexed. They ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said that they had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and to all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit onto the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit to those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before coming of the great and glorious days of the Lord. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Several years ago, there was a tornado in Joplin. I remember exactly where I was. I'd been on the roof of my house, roofing it, went to Home Depot, left Home Depot just a little before 5, saw my neighbor there. Got home, got on the roof, and saw the black clouds. Man, I saw those black clouds, and as soon as I got down, I heard the tornado sirens go off. I knew right where I was. I can remember when O.J. Simpson was having the infamous Bronco chase. I was in Kansas City, up on Blue Ridge Parkway at a Mexican restaurant eating dinner when I saw it. When the Challenger blew up, I was driving down 171. I heard it on the radio. I know exactly this spot. We have things happen in our life where we remember. And I'm sure a lot of you remember different times that where you were and what was going on. When the Twin Towers came down, we all remember different things in our lives. Man, sitting in a house, and all of a sudden, violent winds start coming. The Spirit of God came on Pentecost. We don't need Pentecost to come again. We don't need the birth, the death, or the resurrection of Christ to come again. But what we do need is the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God coming into us and giving us what we need. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we actually have the presence of God within us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to have God with us? I have the Holy Spirit. And we can have that. But here in Acts is just the second chapter of Acts is wonderful. Because it talks of speaking in tongues. When I was a kid, I always thought that, what in the world are they talking about? Speaking in tongues. Speaking in different languages. God says that he'll go to every corner of the earth and everybody will know who he is. Well, how is he going to get that message out? But by being able to talk to people in their own language and for people to understand. We as Christians have two ways of really telling the Christian story. We can be like myself, that get up in front of people and preach. Not everybody has that gift. To be honest, I didn't think I did. But God has allowed that. God has wanted me to do this. He has called me. But you may not have that gift. But here's the gift that you do have, of being a witness. How many couples in this church have been married 50 years? A lot. Yeah. There's been a lot of couples that have been married 50 plus years in the church. That's a witness. How can you witness to young couples? How can you tell them, yeah, my husband and I, or my wife and I, man, we went through a knockdown, drag out, and the first couple of years we just, Or yes, we had financial problems, or yes, we've had problems with children. You can witness to those people. And you can tell your story. It's your story, not mine, not anybody else's. Be a witness. That's what we need, is witnesses for Christ. Because not everybody can get up and talk in front of people. But you can talk one-on-one. I know, because all of you have talked with me. So I know you can do that. Tell your story. Tell your story to your neighbors. Tell your story to your grandkids. Tell your story to your kids' friends. Tell your story to the person at the grocery store or the convenience store or the person that you're pumping gas next to. We need to witness, because that is the most powerful thing that we as Christians can do, is give our testimony to give us a better chance. We need to talk, and we need to know that. Have you thought about what your testimony for God is? Have you thought about it? Or just do you go along day in and day out and not even think about it? I didn't think about it for a long time what my story was. But I was asked one day to write it down. And I got, I'm not a type, I can't type on the computer very well. That's my wife's job, is typing things out for me. But I wrote it down. I started writing it down, and I got maybe a half a page, and I tore it out of the book, and I threw it, and I threw it away. I started all over again, and I started writing it down. I threw away two or three pages, and then all of a sudden, it just boom. And I wrote it down, and it was easy after that. My wife kind of had a hard time reading my chicken scratches, but so be it. But what's your story? You know, wouldn't you have loved to have been there in that house with all the different languages being spoken? Some of the people there thought they were drunk, yet it was 9 o'clock in the morning. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? That particular day, 3,000 souls were saved. And it's kind of funny that it was 3,000 souls that were saved, because when Moses came down off of Mount Sinai and they were worshiping the golden calf, 3,000 souls were lost that day. See, the letter of the law takes life. But the Holy Spirit gives life. And we're under the Holy Spirit right now. George Whitefield, back in the 1800s, in 1858, had a revival. Over 50,000 people that year were saved. 50,000 people were saved every week. That's a heck of a number. Billy Graham, when all of his crusades, 3.2 million people were saved. It's a heck of a number, 3.29 million, or 3.2 million. The festival of harvest is actually what Pentecost was. It's amazing. Truly is amazing. The movie Jesus Revolution talks about how people were saved back in the 60s. Asbury University had a 10-day period that people were just, it was just awesome. The Holy Spirit is with us. I know we've got people in this church that have the Holy Spirit. I've seen it. This church has such a giving heart. I absolutely love that about this church. I absolutely love it. There's a lot of good witness here in this church. We just have to show it to people. We have to be disciples of Christ. We have to go out and we have to show that we are Christians and show the love of Christ. We're not to hate people. We're to show love to people. We're to show love and kindness. We may not like what they say. We may not like what they do. But that's not our judgment. That's God's. We need to show love. And I know there's a lot of love in this church. If there wasn't a lot of love in this church, there wouldn't be as many couples in this church that have been married 50 years. That's awesome. I was never able to do that. I love that about this church. I see love for Christ here, and it amazes me, and I'm just happy to be here in front of you today. I would have loved to have been at Pentecost. I truly would. And we don't need another Pentecost, but we do need a revival in this country. And the only way that that's going to start is with each person here today going out and telling one person, and that person telling another, and that person telling another. You know, the one thing is that I've heard about Christians today is that we go to church and we listen to our music, but we don't tell people. We need to be witnesses. We need to be witnesses for Christ. Tell our story. Each and every one of you have a story that is unique to you. If you'll pray with me. Lord, help us go out and witness. I know it's at first it's hard, but as we do it, the more we do it, it becomes easier. Help us, Lord, be the disciples of Christ that you want us to be. In the Lord's name we pray, amen.